B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Pei Beis. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the very top of the Amud. And this Mishnah is going to discuss from what age does one do chinuch, does one train and educate a child with the halachas of Yom Kippur. And we know that the main halacha of Yom Kippur is eating and drinking. That's the most serious of them. So at what point do we encourage a child, or do we tell a child that even though you're not yet bar or bas mitzvah, nonetheless you should not eat on Yom Kippur even part of the day, or maybe even the whole day? And we know that bar mitzvah is the time when a boy gets the status of an adult, al pi Torah, and that is at the end of his 13th year. It's what we call at his 13th birthday, but it's really the end, 13 and a day, it's when he starts his 14th year. A girl becomes an adult at the end of 12 years, at her 12th birthday. And then we now have a number of years before the boy or girl's bar or bas mitzvah, and we have to know each year before bar and bas mitzvah, do we say that midrabonon, they have to fast the whole day, or do we say that midrabonon, they have to just part of the day, or we're encouraged to stop them to eat, that means to encourage them to fast for at least some of the hours. It's called shois. Shois are hours that some hours, we'll see in the Gemara, that if they're used to eating at a certain time in the day, we should push that off a little bit, so they should do a bit of fasting. Says the Mishnah, Hatinoikos, the children, ein ma'anin oison b'yom ha-kippurim. The Mishnah says that we do not afflict the children on Yom Kippur. And Rashi says that that means that we're not required to deprive them of food on Yom Kippur. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim exactly in practical terms what this means in regards to the rest of the sugya that we're going to learn in a few minutes. But that's the pashtus in the Mishnah. Aval mechanchin oison. However, we do train them, which means that Leshois, which means that there's a few hours in the day where we tell them, don't eat. And we tell them, or we deprive them of food for a year, for an hour or two, or as we're going to see later, just a little bit of the day. Lifnei shono v'lifnei shnosayim. Now, it seems that this is relative to bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. And if it would just say shono, that would mean a year before bar mitzvah, meaning that when a boy is in his 13th year, which means a boy when he's 12 years old, or a girl when she's 11 years old. And shnosayim would be 2 years. In the case of the boy, it's when he's 11 years old, and a girl when she's 10 years old. But it doesn't say shono or shnosayim, it says lifnei shono and lifnei shnosayim, which seems to mean that the year even before that, you've got the year which is called Pirkon, their time when they are bar and bas mitzvah, and then they are required to fast min ha-Torah, when a boy is 13 and a girl is 12. And then you've got Somuch le-Pirkon, which is always the year before bar and bas mitzvah. And then you've got Lifnei Shana v'Lifnei Shnasayim, which means an extra year even earlier, which would mean Lifnei Shana would mean 2 years before bar or bas mitzvah, and if nation or sayim would mean 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah. And the Gemara is actually going to discuss that, but Rashi on the Mishnah says that's the way we read the Mishnah. And the reason that we train them when we do chinuch is b'shvil shehiyu regilim b'mitzvahs, in order that they should be accustomed to doing the mitzvahs that they're going to have to do min ha-Torah after they become adults. Says the Gemara, hashta b'fnei shtayim mechanchin lehu b'fnei shono miboya. If you said in the Mishnah that we're mechanchin oison, we train them a year or 2 years, lifnei shono and lifnei shnosayim, in the way we explained it, it's 2 years and 3 years before bar or bas mitzvah. Then the question is, if you have to start training them already 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah, then of course the 2 years before are included in that bracket. So why does the Mishnah have to say lifnei shono v'lifnei shnosayim? Just say lifnei shnosayim. Omar of Chizda answered, Lo ikasha, ha b'choile, ha b'bori. there's a difference between a child who's a completely strong child and a child who's a little bit weaker. So chayle normally means sick and bori means healthy, but here we mean a stronger child and a weaker child. A stronger child, 3 years before his bar and bas mitzvah, we already start being mechanech for fasting on Yom Kippur. However, a weaker child is just 2 years before. So the basic reading, according to Rav Chisda, the Mishnah means as follows: Hatinoikos ein ma'anin oison b'yom ha-kippurim, which means that anyone before bar and bas mitzvah is never required to fast a whole day on Yom Kippur. However, mechanchin oisam lifneishon or lifneishnosayim, which according to Rav Chisda, he says that a healthy child for 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah, they should practice fasting l'shois, just part of the day, and a weaker child for 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah, they should fast for some of the day. And now we're going to see another couple of opinions in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said as follows. Now what Rav Huna, and after Rav Huna we're going to see Rav Nachman, and they don't actually argue with each other, just Rav Huna is going to teach us the numbers, the ages, referring to a girl who pirka her time, she is an adult min ha-Torah when she's 12 years old, and Rav Huna is going to be giving us those dates, those years, and Rav Nachman is going to have the same opinion, just he's going to tell us the numbers in regard to Tinoik, a boy whose bar mitzvah is at 13. And they, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, are going to introduce to us that not only do we mechanuch them, do we train them l'sho'is at some time before bar and bas mitzvah, but even sometime closer to bar and bas mitzvah, not only do they have to fast some of the day, they actually have to fast the whole day midrabbanon. And to sum up their opinions, what they say is that a healthy child, a boy or a girl, then 4 years before bar and bas mitzvah, they start fasting part of the day. And they do that for 2 years. 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah, that's when they start fasting full day midrabbanon. That's for a healthy child. For an unhealthy child, for a weaker child, then 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah, they start fasting part of the day, and they do that for 2 years, and 1 year before a bar and bas mitzvah, they fast the whole day midrabbanon. That's going to be the opinion of Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Let's see this inside. Omar Rav Huna, ben ches u ben tes, and he's talking about a girl who's 8 years old and 9 years old, mechanchin oison l'shois, they fast just part of the day. Ben yud u ben yud aleph, Mashlimin midrabbanon, a 10-year-old and 11-year-old fast the whole day midrabbanon. What does it mean that an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, if it's a healthy child, then from age 8, the girl fasts shois, and if it's not such a strong girl, if it's a weaker girl, then it's from age 9. Ben yud, if it's a strong girl, then from age 10, she fasts the whole day midrabbanon. Uben yud aleph means that if she is a weaker girl, then she fasts full day only when she's 11. Midrabbanon. Ben yud beis, when she's 12, mashlimin midoraisa, she has to fast the whole day, min ha-Torah, because she's a gdola. Betinoikos, and all those years is referring to a girl. For Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman has the same opinion, but he's going to tell it to us now by a boy. Ben tes ben yud, a strong 9-year-old boy, or a weaker 10-year-old boy, mechanchin oison l'shois. That's when they start fasting part of the day. Ben yud aleph, if it's a strong boy, once he reaches 11, or ben yud beis, a weaker child, when he reaches the age of 12, then mashlimin midrabbanon, then they have to fast the whole day midrabbanon. Ben yud gimel, once they reach the age of 13, mashlimin midoraisa, then they have to fast the whole day min ha-Torah, because they are adults min ha-Torah, but tinoik, and is talking about a boy. Continues the Gemara, we now have another opinion. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan actually, he argues with Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, and he says, Hashloma derabonon leka. There's no such thing as midrabonon being required to fast the whole day. And the other Rishonim say that that's alluded to in the Mishnah when it says, Hatinoikos ein ma'anin oison b'yom ha-kippurim. But the Gemara here does not make direct reference to that point in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yechanan says that midrabbanon, there's no such thing as having to fast the whole day. And he says as follows, and he's giving the times of a girl, and we would work out, it's just 1 year shifted 1 year later for a boy. So for a girl, he says that Ben Yud Aleph, a 10-year-old girl, if she's a strong girl, or an 11-year-old girl, if she's a bit weaker, Mechanchin Oisei L'Shois, then they fast just part of the day. Ben Yud Beis, once she's 12, Mashlimin Midoi Reisa. And the same would be by a boy aged 11 if he's strong, age 12 if he's weaker, then Mechanchin L'Shois, and when he's Ben Yud Gimel, once he's Bar Mitzvah, he has to fast the whole day. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, which is very similar to what the way we understood Rav Chisda. Just Rav Chisda seems, if according to Rashi's reading in the Mishnah, Rav Chisda seems to be saying that a strong child fasts part of the day for 3 years, not like Rabbi Yechanan said for 2 years, and a weaker child fasts part of the day for 2 years, not like Rabbi Yechanan said, just 1 year. Continues the Gemara Tanan. And now we're reverting back to the Mishnah, and we're going to see how this works with these opinions we've just learned. Tanan hatinoikos ein ma'anin oisom b'yom ha'kippurim, aval mechanchin oisom lifnei shono v'lifnei shtayim. Now the way we read the Mishnah, l'katchila, according to Rav Chisda, the Mishnah means that 2 years before bar or bas mitzvah, for a weaker child, or 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah for a stronger child, then we are mechanech them that they fast for part of the day. But the Gemara is now saying that's fine, that was according to Rav Chisda. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, we have to try and see how they're going to read the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Bishleim le Rav Huna ve Rav Nachman. According to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, I'll tell you how they can read the Mishnah. Lifnei shono ve lifnei shtayim. Well, that actually means it's not talking about two different types of children, different years, depending on how healthy they are. No, it's talking about the same year, just gauged relative to a different point. What does that mean? Because what did we see? We saw that both Rav Nachman and Rav Huna say that a weaker child, 3 years before Bar and Bas Mitzvah, the weaker child starts fasting part of the day. And they continue doing that for 2 years. On the third year, which means the year before Bar and Bas Mitzvah, then they start fasting full day midrabbanan. So over here, we're going to assume, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, that the Mishnah is talking about just an unhealthier child, not such a healthy child. And we say that, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, when do they start fasting part of the day? Well, they start fasting part of the day 2 years before they have to start fasting full day midrabbanon, which that is the same point as 3 years before having to fast full day min ha-Torah, because it's 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah. So the Mishnah would be lifnei shono lifnei shtayim, lifnei shono ledivrayim, which means that lifnei shono is 2 years. 2 years before they have to fast full day midrabbanon, v'lifnei shtayim, which is 3 years before ledivrayim. And the Bach says you have to read here not ledivrayim, but ledivrei Torah. It's because 2 years before having to fast full day midrabbanon is 3 years before having to fast min ha-Torah full day. So that's how Rav Huna and Rav Nachman would understand the Mishnah. Elo l'Rabbi Yechanan, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that 3 years before Bar and Bas Mitzvah, there's nothing. There's no chinuch at all. It's only either 1 year for a weaker child or 2 years for a healthier child that they fast shois. So it's going to be kashya. How is Rabbi Yechanan going to read the Mishnah? There's nothing ever which is 3 years before Bar Mitzvah or Bas Mitzvah. And we said that lifnei shnatayim means the year before 2 years before is 3 years before. Answers the Gemara, Omer lecha Rabbi Yechanan, Mai shono oishtayim, samuch lepirkon. It doesn't mean that a year before the year, a year before 2 years, which is 2 or 3 years before. No, it means samuch lepirkon. Pirkon is when they are adults min ha-Torah, 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy. Lifnei shono means 1 year before bar and bas mitzvah, in the case of a weaker child, but if Nesh Nosayim doesn't mean 3 years before, it means 2 years before Bar and Bas Mitzvah for a stronger child. Toshema, the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Tinoikos, Ein Ma'anin Oison B'yom HaKippurim, Aval mechanchin oison. What does it say here? Shono ishtaim. It doesn't say lifnei shono velifnei shnosaim. It says 1 year or 2 years samuch lepirkon, before their pirkon, which is the time when they are chayiv min hatorah to fast. So you see explicitly in the brisa, like we explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan. But now we have an issue that once you see a brisa like this, it's very comfortable for Rabbi Yochanan. But how are Rav Nachman and Rav Huna going to read this brisa? Bishleim el Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we understand there's 1 year before bar and bas mitzvah for the weaker child, and 2 years before for the weaker, for the healthier child, and is talking about the shoyis, eat fasting part of the day. Nicha, the brisa is very much understood. El or Rav Huna or Rav Nachman, but Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, how are they going to read the brisa that explicitly speaks about 1 year or 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah? They both hold explicitly that the fasting part of the day starts either 3 years before bar and bas mitzvah for a weaker child, or 4 years before for a healthier child. What's shono ishtaim? Kashya. It's going to be difficult how they're going to read the brisa. Omri l'charabonon, they're going to say no. My chinuch, when the brisa says mechanchin oison, you know what it means, mechanchin oison? It doesn't mean mechanchin oison that we train them to fast part of the day. Chinuch nami diktoni is hashloma. It's talking about the training where they have to fast full day, midrabanon. And indeed, you've got 1 year or 2 years. As we said, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, a weaker child fasts full day midrabanon 1 year before bar and bas mitzvah. A healthier child fasts full day midrabanon 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, umikori lechinuch hashlama? Do we call training, is this called training if you're actually getting them to fast the whole day midrabanon? Did we not say till now, in the whole Gemara we've been learning that mechanchim means just part of the day of Yom Kippur that they're fasting? V'otanya, we even saw explicitly in a brisa, eze chinuch, what does it mean, chinuch, training, in this context? That it means hoya rogi lechel b'shtei shoyis, if he was used to eating after 2 hours from the beginning of the day, machinin oisoy l'sholish, then we make him eat, we only give him to eat an hour after that, 3 hours into the day. B'sholish, if he's accustomed to eating 3 hours into the day, machilin oisei ba'arba, we postpone it by another hour. Just that whenever he's accustomed to eating, he fasts that extra hour. So how can you say, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, the brisa that says, shono ishtayim samuch lepirkon, is talking about fasting full day? Omar Rabbi Bar Ula, trei chinuch ahava. There's two different concepts of training. There's the training which is earlier on, which is for part day fasting, and then there's the training later on, which is full day fasting, midrabanon. So this brisa, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, is talking about the second stage of mechanchim, which is full day. And that's why it's 1 or 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah. In the brisa that says, Eze chinuch, that chinuch is fasting part day, is talking about the time before that. And before closing this sugya, it's important to point out that the real truth is that min hatayra, a person is only chayev if he eats or drinks on Yom Kippur, not only if he's old enough, which means he's 12 years old girl or 13 year old boy, but also needs to have shtei sairis, two hairs in the pubic area, and that constitutes the stage where he's considered an adult min ha-Torah. So we've done a reading of the Gemara completely focused on how Rashi read the Gemara. There are many, many other ways of learning this Gemara, other Rishonim, other places in Shas, and there's many halachic ramifications of the way one learns this sugya, but this is how the sugya is learnt according to Rashi. Says the next Mishnah, Ubra shehiricha. If a fetus, an unborn child, smells some food and craves it, and if the mother does not eat it, then that poses a risk both to the mother and to the child. Ubra sheiricha, machilin oisa, then we feed the mother with that food, on Yom Kippur, ad shetoshiv nafsha, until she relaxes and she feels relieved. That's as far as eating on Yom Kippur, which is seriously also to eat on Yom Kippur, but if it's pikuach nefesh, if it's going to pose a threat to a human life, then the being protecting the life is overrides the issa of eating on Yom Kippur, as pikuach nefesh overrides almost every other issa in the Torah, as we'll see in the Gemara. Chayla, if you have somebody who's sick and he needs, the doctors say, the experts say, that he has to eat things which are also to eat otherwise. If the experts, if the doctors say that in order for this person to survive and to keep him out of danger, he has to eat certain foods which are not kosher, we feed it to him. If there are no doctors available to determine that he has to eat, then we let him assess himself. If he says he needs it, then we can rely on that. Until he says, I no longer need it. When he says he no longer needs it, then we do not need to continue giving him the tray for food. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Ubra shehiricha basar kodesh oy basar chazir. If this pregnant woman suddenly has a craving because of her fetus has this craving for either hektish meat or for pork, which both of them are serious isurim, she's not allowed to eat them, but she's got this craving, and if she doesn't eat it, it could pose a danger to herself and her child, then we don't want to jump straight into giving her something that's very osur, and we try and do it as light as possible. It's called hakal, the most lenient first, and only if that doesn't suffice, we go to something more stringent. So first, toichvin lokush baroitev. We just take the spindle and poke it into the cooked food which she's not allowed to eat. Umanichinu al piha, and we place this spindle onto her mouth in order that she can just suck away at the remnants or whatever it is of this cooked food that was stuck on this edge of this spindle, to try and just suck that in the hope that that would be enough. Im nisyashva daita, if indeed that relieved her, mutav then is good, ve'im lav, but if not, then machilin oisa roitav atzmo. Then we give her some of the juice itself. That means we're not yet giving her the actual meat. We're first dipping the spindle into the juice. That didn't work. Then we feed her from the juices itself. And the soup itself is not the actual issa, it's water. But it's water that has the taste of issa in it. And the taste of issa is not as stringent as the issa itself. Vimnis yashva daita, if that helped her to be relieved, is good, mutav. Vim lav, and if not, machilin oisa shuman atzmoi, then we give her the fat of the meat itself, because we don't have a choice. She'ein lecha dovo sh'oimid b'fnei pikuach nefesh, there's nothing that stands in the way of pikuach nefesh, besides chutz mi'avoy dezor gilaroiz v'shichas domim, besides for the three cardinal averus, one is avoy dezor, worshipping idols, one is gilaroiz, is certain inappropriate and immoral relationships, and shichas domim is bloodshed. And the Gemara is now going to tell us what the source is that these three averus are not overridden even at the expense of life. Avodah Zorah Minolon. Tanya Reb Eliezer, Omer Reb Eliezer says as follows. We say in the Shema every day, V'ahavto es Hashem Elikecha, V'chol levovecha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol mo'idecha. You have to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your money, all your resources, everything you own. Asks the Gemara, Im ne'emar b'chol nafshecha, if it says that your love of Hashem means that you have to even be prepared to give away nafshecha, your soul, lomo ne'emar b'chol mo'idecha, why does it then have to tell you that you have to be prepared to give away whatever you own? V'im ne'emar b'chol mo'idecha, and if it says you have to give away all your resources, lomo ne'emar b'chol nafshecha, why does it say that you have to give away your soul? And what the Gemara means to ask is, make up your mind which one is the more stringent one. And that's the one. Tell me that you have to even give that away, and I'll know that you have to also give away the other one. Why should we have to say them both? Answers the Gemara. Im yesh lecha odom shegufo yichoviv olav mimamoinoi. If you have a type of person that his body is more important to him, more precious, more dear to him than his money, lekach ne'ema b'chol nafshecha, that's why it says b'chol nafshecha, which means that not only do you have to give away your money, but even your body, that's even more important to you, give that away as well. If you have a person that money is more precious to him than his own being, then that's why the pasuk says, not only should you give away your body, your being, you should also give away everything that you own. And this pasuk v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha is clearly talking about being prepared to give up one's life and not serve idols, not serve avodah zarah, which is diametrically opposed to loving Hashem. Continues the Gemara. Giluy arayos ushvichas domim minolon. How do you know that you're not allowed to preserve your own life if it would mean transgressing either giluy arayos or shvichas domim? Titani, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi brought the following posuk. The pasuk there is talking about Naro Hamurosa. This is a girl who has the status of a married woman, an Eishes Ish, and a man is coming and trying to do something extremely osser and inappropriate with her. So it says there, Ki kasher yokum ish al re'eyu urutzochei nefesh, kein adovar azeh, that just in the same way as a man that rises up against his friend or against his fellow and murders him, so too regarding this Naroham Urosa, which means that the Pasuk is telling us that learn from Roitzeach, from a halacha of murder, learn a halacha to Naroham Urosa. So says the Braisa, V'chima inyan lomadnu miroitzeach l'Naroham Urosa. What did this comparison between Roitzeach and Naroham Urosa teach us? What halacha do we see from Roitzeach that we're then adopting also to Naroham Urosa? Elo hareze bo l'lamid. It would seem from the posuk that the Roitzeach, the halacha of Roitzeach, is teaching something about the Naroham Urosa, but nimtzolomid. But in truth, it seems that there's something halacha of Naroham Urosa that's actually going to teach us a halacha to Roitzeach. Ma Naroham Urosa, in the same way as Naroham Urosa, nitein lehatzilo benafshoi, that you're allowed to save this woman from being violated by this person, by killing the person, the violator, the man who's trying to hurt her. And this is learned from the posuk, that the posuk says that we're talking about a Naroham Urosa that was violated in a field, and the posuk says there was no one there to save her. And it seems that if somebody would have been there, would have been able to save her, even if it means killing the man that was hurting her. So too, afroitzeach nitein latziloi benafshoi. So too, if somebody is trying to murder somebody else, one's allowed to save the victim even by killing the murderer. That's what we learn out. That's what Naroham Urosa taught the halachas of roitzeach. And now that we know that we can compare the two, then the Gemara adds in ma roitzeach yehorig va'al yavo, in the same way as by Roitzeach, we'll soon see where we know this from, but by murder, it says better to be killed than to murder somebody else, which means if somebody comes over to you and says, either kill your friend or I'll kill you, we have to be prepared to give up our own lives. We'll soon see where we learn that from. Afnaroham Uroso, then also with the Naroham Uroso, Yehorig Valyavir, that were we to be discussing the male, the man, if somebody says either do such an aveira to a woman or get killed, a person has to be prepared to get killed. The parasha of Naroham Urosa itself is not talking about the man, it's talking primarily about the woman, and because over there she was not given any choice, it was done by force, she was not an active partner in this, therefore she's not chayev. And because Naroham Urosa itself is talking about the woman, and the woman herself does not have to give up her life, that's why the Gemara said before that we do not learn from Roitzeach to Naroham Urosa. But now that we've compared the two parashiyos, as we've explained, then we add in an extra dimension that were the man to be forced to do what he did and have to make a decision, should I violate this woman or should I give up my life? We learn from Roitzeach that you have to give up your life. That's how the Achrenim here explain this Gemara. And now the Gemara says, V'Roitzeach gufei minolon. From where did we learn this itself? That we learn from Roitzeach that rather be killed than kill somebody else. Says the Gemara, Svaru. It's just basic logic. Dahu da'osa l'kamei derova. There was this part, somebody who came to Rava, Omar Le, and said to him, Omar Li Mori Duroi, the governor of my town said to me, Katle Le Planyo, kill Mr. So and so, Viloika Til Naloch, and if you don't, then I will kill you. Omar Le and Rava said to him, Nik Teloch, let him kill you, Viloitik Til, do not kill somebody else. Why? Because my choses de dom adidoch sumuk tfei. What makes you think that your blood is redder than the blood of the victim? Dilma dom adi hahu gavra sumuk tfei. Maybe his blood is redder than yours. And Rashi explains, because the only reason that you would contemplate murdering somebody in such a situation was because of the mitzvah of a chai behem. You have a mitzvah to preserve life. And since you're being threatened that if you don't kill your friend, you're going to be killed, you're going to do the mitzvah of a chai behem and preserve your own life. But that's only true. The general rule of a chai behem is only true when I can transgress an aveira and preserve life. But over here, that either way life is going to be lost. But either you're going to kill your friend, or you're not going to kill your friend, and then you will be killed by this person who's threatening you. So if you're not going to preserve life anyway, then what makes you think you can do the Avera? You don't know whose blood is redder than whose, and why should Hashem prefer your blood than his blood? And therefore, you're not allowed to do this Avera of murder. So that's where we learn out. That's the logic from where we learn out that one should rather allow oneself to be killed than to kill somebody else. And that's the source by Ritzeach. And as we said before, that from Ritzeach we learn to Naro Hamu'uroso as well, that in the same way as one should allow oneself to be killed and not kill somebody else, so too one should allow oneself to be killed and not, chas v'sholem, violate a married woman. Continues the Gemara. We're going back now to this fetus or to this woman that had this craving on Yom Kippur. Hahi ubra d'orcho. There was this pregnant woman or the fetus in the pregnant woman that smelled some food and craved it on Yom Kippur. Also lekamei de Rebbe, they came to Rebbe. Omar luhu, and Rebbe said to them, zilu l'choshula, whisper into her ear, d'yema d'kippurahu, it's Yom Kippur. Maybe that will be enough. She'll suddenly realize, oh, it's Yom Kippur, we're really not allowed to eat. Maybe that will suffice to calm down her craving. L'choshula. So they whispered it into her ear. V'ilchisha. And she accepted it, and the craving went away. Kori Olei, so Rebbe said about this fetus who was reminded it was Yom Kippur and stopped craving, they said on him the pasuk, "Beterem etzorcho v'abeten yedaticha." Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Uveterem teitzei mirechem, before you left the womb, higdashticha, I sanctified you. This was a fetus that was very much, Rebbe very much complimented it. Nofak mino, Rebbe Yechanan. And Rabbi Yechanan was born from her. That was the holy Rabbi Yechanan. Another story. Hahu ubra d'orcha, that was this fetus that had a craving on Yom Kippur. Also lekamei de Rabbi Chanina. They came to Rabbi Chanina. What should we do? Omar luhu, he said to them, luchu shula, whisper into her ear that it's Yom Kippur. V'lo ilchisha. It didn't help. The woman, the fetus, did not accept the message that was whispered into her ear that it was Yom Kippur. Koriole, Reb Chanina said about this fetus, Zoiru Roshoim Meirochem, Ta'u Mibeten Doivrei Chozov, that the wicked are estranged from the womb. Nofak Mino, Shabtai Otsar Peri. The fetus, this child, was later to become Shabtai, who was somebody who he would hoard the produce, and he would do that in order to manipulate the prices of the produce. And this is something which the Gemara in Baba Kamad of Tzadik discusses, how serious that is to raise the prices too much. And that's what this person did. Bekitza, this person was not somebody who was such a straight person. Continues the Gemara, Choyle machilin oisoi al pi bekin. We saw in the Mishnah that if you've got a sick person and we don't know whether it's dangerous for him to fast on Yom Kippur or not, then machilin oisei al pi bekin, then if the doctors, if the experts say that this sick person has to eat in order to stay safe, then we allow him to eat, we feed him on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Omar Reb Yanai. Reb Yanai said the following, and he's going to say two halachas. And just to introduce, in the Gemara we're about to learn now, until the next Mishnah, we're going to discuss three elements. There's the opinion of the sick person himself. Does he feel he needs to eat, or does he feel he doesn't need to eat? And then you've got other people, doctors, for example, a doctor stroke doctors, who either say you do, the choyle does need to eat, or that the choyle does not need to eat. And we know that eating an Yom Kippur is very serious. So in what cases are we going to allow him to eat? In what cases not? For example, if the doctor says, yeah, I need to eat, and two expert doctors say, no, you don't, it's not dangerous, you're not risking your life by not eating, are we going to let him eat? What about other examples? When the sick person himself says, I don't need to eat, and one or more doctors say you do need to eat, and at the same time, one or more doctors say you don't need to eat. That means you've got an argument between the doctors themselves about the state, the condition of this sick person. And how are we going to make sense of this? How do we know when we're allowed to let this person eat on Yom Kippur and when not? So Rabbi Yannai started with saying two halachas. Chole oimer tzorich. If the sick person himself says, I need to eat. V'roifa oimer. And you've got one doctor that says, Ein tzorich, you do not need to eat. So now it's the word of the sick person against the word of the doctor. Shoimim lachole. We listen to the sick person and we give him to eat. My tama, why would this be true? We would have thought that the doctor should have more expertise in knowing whether it's dangerous or not for this person to fast. Says the Gemara, Leiv yedea moras nafshei. There's a posuk that says that a heart knows the situation of the soul. If the sick person has this understanding, I need to eat, and if not, it's dangerous, then he knows what he's talking about. Says the Gemara, Pshita, is it not taken for granted that the person who says, I need to eat, otherwise I'm going to die, or it's going to be in a dangerous situation, that you have to eat? Says the Gemara, no, it's not so straightforward. Ma'udatema, I may have thought, Reifa kimle tfei, that the doctor knows better. Komash malon. So Rabbi Yannai was telling us, no, that this posuk, Leiv yedea moras nafshei, teaches us that the person has his own feeling of his condition and should be trusted. Another halacha, says Rabbi Yannai, what happens if Reifa oimer tzorich? If there's a doctor, one doctor that says he has to eat on Yom Kippur, v'choyle oimer eini tzorich, and here the sick person himself says, I don't feel I need to eat. Then what are you going to say? You're going to say again, Leiv yedea moras nafshoi, and he shouldn't eat because as the sick person himself determines he doesn't need to eat, that's enough? No. Shemim l'roifa. This time we listen to the doctor. My tama, why should that be true? You just said a minute ago that Leiv yedea moras nafshoi, that you can rely on the sick person even more than the doctor. Why should it not be true here? Says the Gemara, Tun v'hu denokitle. It could be that because he's so sick, he became delirious and his judgment was not straight. And it could be that because of this, the severity of his illness, and even though normally if he would be in his right mind, of course he understands better than the doctor. But we don't know, is he in his right mind? And since we don't know, we have to be machmir. And therefore we say that either way, if the chole himself says, I need to eat, we assume that he knows what he's talking about, and we give him to eat. If he says he doesn't need to eat, but the doctor says he does, we assume that possibly the doctor is right, and we also give him to eat. So those are the two rulings of Rabbi Yannai. And now we're going to quote the Mishnah and try and understand whether the Rabbi Yannai conforms with the Mishnah and how it conforms with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah actually said two things. Number one, Machilin oisoi al pi bekiin, that you feed the sick person based on Beki'im. What does that mean? Beki'im means, as plural tense, it means two professionals, two experts, two doctors. It would seem from the Mishnah that if a single doctor said that he has to eat, it would not suffice. That's one thing we can deduce. Another thing we can deduce is that Machilin Oisel Pi Beki'im, he's only ever allowed to eat on Yom Kippur if experts say that he has to eat. But if he himself says he has to eat, that not. And both of these points are exactly the opposite of the two halachas of Rabbi Yannai. The first halacha of Rabbi Yannai was that if the chole himself says he needs to eat, we feed him. It seems to be in the Mishnah that machilin oisel pi bekiim, we only let him eat under the instructions of a doctor. And the second halacha, that if the person himself says, I don't need to eat, and a single doctor says he has to eat, we let him eat. That's one boki, that's one expert. The Mishnah seems to say, al pi bekiim, you need two doctors to say you can eat before you can eat on Yom Kippur. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Tanan, choyle machilin oise al pi bekiim. Al pi bekiim in, only on the advice of experts, al pi atzmo iloi, but not following his own assessment. And that is contrary to the first halacha of Rabbi Yannai. Al pi bekiim in, another halacha that we deduce from here, that only if two doctors, two experts, say that he has to eat. Al pi boki echad. But if it's just a single expert, a single doctor, loit, we do not feed him on Yom Kippur. And that's against both halachas that Rabbi Yannai said. Answers the Gemara, hocha b'mayoskinon. The Mishnah is talking about not case number one of Rabbi Yannai and not case number two of Rabbi Yannai. The Mishnah is talking about the Omar loy tzorichna. When the sick person says, I don't need to eat. And that's answering the first diuk. The first diuk says that we listen to the doctors, alpi bakiyin in, alpi atzmoi loy, we do not listen to the assessment of the sick person himself. That's only true when the sick person says, I don't need to eat. Then we disregard what he says and we listen to what the doctor said. So that's answered that question. The question, how could Rabbi Yannai say that if the sick person himself says that he has to eat, that we let him eat? The Mishnah says you follow the Bekim, you follow the doctors. The answer is it's not a contradiction, because the Mishnah only said follow the doctors and not the person if the person says I don't need to eat. If the person says I do need to eat, we do follow what he says. But you haven't answered the second question, that it's true, so we don't follow the Pechoyle himself when he says you don't need to eat, you follow the doctor. But the Mishnah seems to say you need two doctors to say that, and Rabbi Yannai said even a single doctor says that he has to eat, we follow him. Asks the Gemara of Lispulei Arpi Boki, it should be enough that a single doctor told him to eat, and the Mishnah seems to say that you need two doctors. Answers the Gemara that Loi Tzricha, when does the Mishnah say you need two doctors to say that he can eat in order to allow him to eat? That's only the Ika Achrina Bahadei, the Omar Loi Tzorich. That's only in a case where, besides for the patient himself saying, I don't need to eat, there's also another doctor saying he doesn't need to eat. So we have two opinions that say he doesn't need to eat. In that case, one doctor who says you do need to eat would not suffice. We need two doctors to say that he has to eat, and then we can listen to those two doctors. Asks the Gemara. So is that what the Mishnah is really coming to tell us, that when you have two doctors who say that he has to eat, and one doctor plus the patient that both say you don't need to eat, that you listen to the doctors that say you do need to eat? Pshita, is that not obvious? Sofik nefoshesu, it's two against two, and you've got a sofik, a doubt, which involves saving a life, the sofik nefoshes lahokel. You always have to be lenient when it comes to trying to save a life, even if it's just a sofik. So that would be no chiddush of the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, loy tzricha. I'll tell you what case the Mishnah is talking about, that I need two doctors to say that he can eat, and there's still some element of chiddush there. De ikka trei achrina bahadei, de omri loy tzorich. When it's three against two. When you have one doctor, when you have the patient, which is one saying, I don't need to eat. You have another two doctors agreeing with him, you don't need to eat. So there's now three opinions that say you don't need to eat. In that case, when the Mishnah says, we do not listen to the patient himself, we do not listen to those other two doctors, because only when you have two doctors that say that he has to eat, in that case, he has to eat. But were there to be just a single doctor to say he has to eat, and against him there's three opinions that he doesn't need to eat, in that case, they would not say that he eats on Yom Kippur. Va'afel gavda Omar of Safra, even though we know there's a ruler of Safra said, trei kameo or meo katrei, that once you have two, there's no difference between 2 and 100. And over here you seem to say that it's 3 against 2, and you wanted to say that I would have followed the 3. And the Mishnah is telling us an element of Chiddush. No, follow the 2. Normally, we don't differentiate between 2 and 100. Hanemili, that's only true, lein in edus. When it comes to witnesses, to testimony in a Beis Din, then we say that 2 witnesses carry the same weight as 100 witnesses. When it comes to assessing a situation, then boso deus is linon. Then we follow the majority of the opinions. So normally we would follow the majority. When you have an assessment that's associated to financial, to property, for example, you're trying to assess the value of some property that's being discussed, then we follow the majority of the opinions. Aval hocha, but here, sofik nefoshes hu. Over here, there's a sofik when you're trying to preserve life, and therefore in this case, even though it's an assessment, it's not witness, it's not testimony, it's an assessment of should he eat, shouldn't he eat, and therefore we should really follow the majority of opinions. No. That's what the Mishnah says. If you have two doctors that say he has to eat, even if there's more than two opinions that say that he does not have to eat, we let him eat, we make him eat on Yom Kippur. So the conclusion of the Gemara at this point is that the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah, that says that Ma'achilin Oisoi al pi Bekiim is talking about a case where the Choyle himself says, I don't need to eat. He's got two doctors supporting him and two doctors against him. Then the Mishnah says, we follow the two doctors who say that you should eat. So now the Gemara is going to ask from the next words in the Mishnah. What does it say in the next words in the Mishnah? Vim ein shom Bekiim. If there's no experts available, then machilin oisei al pi atzmoi, then we listen to what he says, achiyei mardai, which means that we're talking about a case that he says, I do need to eat. And since in the ratio it says explicitly that in the absence of doctors, we follow what the patient himself says, what the chayla says that he has to eat, it seems that the whole Mishnah is talking about that case where the chayla himself says, I do need to eat. And the Mishnah is just saying that it depends whether there's experts there or not. If there's experts there, we follow the experts. We need experts to say that you're right, you have to eat. But if the experts are there who say you don't need to eat, then we won't let him eat. And then the Mishnah says, if there's no experts there, then we follow him. So we see from the Mishnah that the whole Mishnah is talking about that this person says, I need to eat. Not like the conclusion of the Gemara that we just saw now, that the Mishnah is talking about where the Chayle says, I don't need to eat. Let's see that inside. V'homidik toni sefer, since the second part of the Mishnah, the second statement says, V'm ein shom bekiin, machilin oise al pi atzmo, if there's no doctors available, then we follow his own assessment and we let him eat. Michlal, we can determine from there, deresha, that the first part of that statement, the Omar Tzorich, is also talking about that the sick person says, I need to eat. And if the Mishnah is talking about that even when the Chayle himself says, I need to eat, nonetheless, we only let him eat, depending on what the doctors say, if there's professionals there, this seems to be against what Rav Yanai said. The first halacha of Rav Yanai says that if the Chayle himself says, I need to eat, lev yodea moras nafshoi, and we follow his own assessment, and we do give him to eat. And according to what we just saw in the Mishnah, it seems that even when he says, I need to eat, we do not listen to him. And we follow the doctors, if the doctors are there. Answers the Gemara, Chisure Mechsura V'Hochi K'toni. You have to add in a few words, you have to read a few words into the Mishnah. Not like we said a moment ago, that since the Sefer is talking about when the Chayle says, I need to eat, that the Reisha is also talking about where he says, I need to eat. No. B'meh Devorim Amurim, when is it true? In what case does the ratio, does the first part of the statement apply that says that we have to rely on the doctors and we don't rely on the assessment of the patient? We're reading into the Mishnah that the ratio says explicitly that we're talking about when the Chayle says, I don't need to eat. And therefore we said, if the Chayle says, I don't need to eat, in that case, then he's only allowed to eat if there's two doctors that say that he has to eat. And we said it was talking about a case where there's another two doctors together with the Chayle that say that you don't need to eat. Nonetheless, we follow the two doctors. Avol Omar Tzorichani, but in the event that the Chayle himself says, I need to eat, then in that case, the Mishnah says, Im ein shom bekiim, if you haven't got two doctors who can say that he doesn't have to eat, if there's only one doctor that says that he doesn't have to eat, Elochad, the Omaloi Tzorich, only one doctor says he doesn't need to eat, then Machilin Oise Al Pi Atzmoi, then we don't follow that doctor, and we follow the patient himself who says he has to eat, and that's exactly the case, that's exactly the first halacha that Rabbi Yanai said, that if you have a single doctor that says that you don't need to eat, and you have the patient that says you do need to eat, we let him eat. But indeed, if there was the single chayle that says, I need to eat, and two doctors who say you don't need to eat, that's when the sefer of the Mishnah says, that's when you follow the doctors, and we don't let him eat. However, Mar Bar Vashi Omar, he argues even on that point. Mar Bar Vashi says, no. Kol heicha de Omar tzorichani, in any case that the chayle says, I need to eat, Afilu ika meo de omri lo tzorich. Even if you have 100 doctors that say he doesn't need to eat, l'didei shom inon. We listen to the patient himself. Shenemar, as it says, leiv yodea moras nafshei. That every person knows how to assess his own situation. The problem with this is that we just now explained the sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah started, or the first part of the statement says, Chole machilin oisel pibakim, that we feed the chole based on doctors. And we said it's talking about that the patient himself said, I don't need to eat, and then two doctors says, you do need to eat, we feed him. And then we said, Vim ein shom bakim, the closing statement of the Mishnah, that if there isn't bakim, then machilin oisel piatzmoy. So how did we just explain that before? That if you haven't got two bakim, if you don't have two doctors that say that you don't need to eat, then machilin oisel piatzmoy, then we follow his own assessment that he does have to eat, and the sefer is talking about where he says, I do need to eat, and this follows what Rav Yanai said, that if there's only one doctor that says that you don't need to eat, we let the patient eat because based on his own assessment. But if there's two doctors, that's what it means, ein shom bakim. If you haven't got two doctors, only then we let him eat. But in the event that you have two doctors that say that you don't need to eat, we would follow what the two doctors say. That's what we said before. That's how we understood the Mishnah. But that's not what Mar Bar Avashi said. Mar Bar Avashi said, even if you've got two doctors that say you don't need to eat, we still allow the patient to eat. So how do we understand the last statement in the Mishnah, Im ein shom bekiim, machilin oisel piatzmoy, that it seems from there that if you do have bekiim, then we do not, if you have two doctors, we do not let him eat. That's what the Gemara is about to ask. Tanan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Im ein shom bekiim, if you haven't got two doctors that say that he doesn't need to eat, then machilin oisel piatzmoy, then we feed him based on his own assessment. Tama de leka bakim, and we assumed before that only because you don't have two doctors. Ha ika bakim, but if you have two doctors that say that he doesn't need to eat, loi, then we do not listen to his own assessment of the patient, and we don't let him eat. And this is against what Mar Bar Avashi says, that even if you've got 1,000 doctors that say that he doesn't need to eat, if the patient himself says he has to eat, we listen to him. How are we going to read the end of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara like this, Hochi Komar. Bameh Dvarim Amurim, the Reisha that says Machilin Oisel Pibakiin, as we said before, is talking about the Omar Lo Tzorichani. As we said before, the patient says, I don't need to eat, and you've got some doctors that agree with the patient, then the Reisha says that Machilin Oisel Pibakiin, if you've got two doctors that say that he needs to eat, that overrides even a majority of opinions that says he doesn't need to eat. Aval Omar Tzorichani, and so far this is the same as we said before, that the Sefer is talking about Tzorichani, and it must be because it says explicitly in the Sefer, Machilin Oisel Al Piatzmoy, which means that he says, I do need to eat. So how do we understand these words, Vim Ein Shom Bekiim, if there are no experts there, only then we let him eat? According to Mar Bar Avashi, we let him eat even if there are experts. The answer is, it's not an im, it's not if there's experts. No, we've taken that word out. Ein shom bekiim klal. The way to read the Mishnah is that we totally disregard the opinion of any bekiim. Rather, machilin oise al piatzmoy, in every event, we follow the opinion of the patient himself, shenemar, as it says, lev yodea moras nafshoy. And that's how, according to Mar Bar Avashi, we're going to have to read into the Mishnah. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.